Joining us in studio right now is Gene Glatter. Gene, of course, many of you know Gene from his, well, you've been around here actually since the early 80s, and former owner of the Cascade Lodge and the Blue Water Cafe, and the author of a recently drafted and hopefully soon to be published book called Downtown Grand Marais. Gene, thanks so much for joining us here in the studio on the first of the year.
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me.
Now, I've had a chance to kind of leaf through, and I guess this best thing to call this as it is now is kind of a draft or a mock-up.
Correct.
How did you happen to get the idea of, gee, I think I'll do a book on some of the early hotels and early businesses down on Wisconsin Street?
Well, I was always curious about what took place on the Blue Water location. And so I was, first of all, just going to do an article or just research the background of the lot where the Blue Water was. And as I dug into that, I discovered early on there was a hotel there. And I researched that, and then I discovered that the Paynes, who built the hotel, had worked at other hotels in Grand Marais. And so I got curious about those hotels. So I started looking up information on all the old hotels that are long gone.
For crying out loud. And so one thing led to another. And at what point in time did you think, you know, I think I got a book here?
Well, yeah. After two or three hotels, I started to think about that. And then I thought, well, because there was a hotel on where the parking lot is, Joyn's parking lot. And that was the Grand Hotel. And where Joyn's store was the Shoreview Hotel. And so I decided I'll do the four corners of where the Blue Water is.
Okay.
And by the time I'd done that and done the research and run across all kinds of other information, I pretty well had Wisconsin Street covered. So then I decided to finish Wisconsin Street and look up the history of all the buildings and businesses on Wisconsin Street.
So when did you first, and you said it was when you owned the Blue Water that you wanted to research the background of that. So how long has all of this research been going on?
Well, just over the years, I occasionally ran across something. I just collect some information. But basically the last 4 years since I've been retired, I started digging into it. And because it took quite a bit of time. And,
oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. In fact, that leads me to my next question is where did you go for most of the research? I mean, and I should tell people that it's not just photos that you've got of Wisconsin Street or the buildings that were down there, but there's a lot of copy there too. So where did you go for the pictures and also for the research that you did?
Well, I wanted to make it kind of a documentary type book, and so I went to the courthouse and in the recorder's office and looked up the records, and I had the help of a couple of people, in particular Bill Hennessy and Bill Hay, and the staff up there, and so we looked up the legal records of property transfers, and then I went to the Historical Society and looked through their photo albums and started talking to old timers and interviewed about 50 people in the county and read the old newspapers from early 1900s. The Cook County was Cook County Herald now, but read that up at the library. Basically, it's all on microfilm up there.
Okay. So it's pretty extensive. I know you mentioned the other day that when we talked that you're hoping to get the book published by the end of January. What's the process for that? How do you go about getting a book like this published?
Well, it's an involved process, and I've had Jim Rehnquist has done the formatting of this for me, and I've gone through, you know. It's easier with computers now than it used to be.
I'm sure that's true. I'm sure that's true.
And so just getting it published, written, and then checking for errors and editing. And so there's that process. And then I took it down to Instiprint to get three copies made in a, draft cop mode.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're editing that again. And I'm going to go down next week and talk to a couple printers and see if I can get it done.
And would that be in Duluth or down the city?
Well, maybe the Minneapolis, but I'm going to start in Duluth, yeah.
Sure. You know, one of the things that interested me was, as I looked through the book and just listening to you talk, and in fact, talking to Buck about it earlier, too, because, of course, Buck's been around here for a long time.
Yeah,
how many hotels there and boarding houses there were here.
Really, yeah.
And as I look, in fact, one of the pages, the population... Population of Cook County wasn't all that large going back a number of years. Why did they need all the hotels and the boarding houses?
Well, I think early on was because of search for minerals and logging and you know, took a lot of labor in those days to run the lumber camps, and people came in by boat and they needed some place to stay. And of course, they weren't fancy hotels; they were more boarding houses.
Sure.
And even the early hotels, you know, were a room and a bathroom down the hall, basically.
Now, what, as far as the buildings that are on Wisconsin Street currently, well, one thing I wanted to ask you about, the Johnson Heritage Post.
Right.
That's gone through a number of different changes.
Right.
There really was a trading post.
There really
on
was,
on that location back in the early 1900s.
Right.
What other kind of changes have taken place there?
On that lot?
On that lot, yeah.
Well, that's always been in the Johnson, well, I can't say always, but, you know, since Charlie Johnson had the land, he built the trading post, I think, I can't remember the date exactly, 1903, 1905, and then it burned down in 26, and they rebuilt it. So there's a little bit of a question whether it burned down another time or not, but I don't think it did. So it eventually transitioned into a gift shop, and then the current trading post.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about some of the other buildings that are still around? What are some of the more... I should remind our listeners, we're visiting with Gene Glatter, who has put together and hope to be soon to be a book, Downtown Grand Marais. What are some of the other buildings that are there now that were something else or have been a number of different things over the years?
Well, the one of the older buildings downtown is the building behind Joint's department store right now. That was on the corner, and when Joint's brought Howard Joint's and Rosemary bought the property, they had it moved to its current location. But that's one of the older buildings in Grand Marais. Actually, the on Wisconsin Street. All the original buildings are either burned down or torn down. In fact, one of the observations in doing all this research that is the number of fires in town and the devastating effect of those fires.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, prior to modern firefighting equipment and wooden buildings and wood stoves and early electrical fires, there were just a lot of fires. And,
yeah. I lost my train.
Cigarettes, too.
Yeah.
I think especially the lumberjacks coming in and
could
maybe,
be.
You know,
yep.
Real problems there.
I'll bet that's true in the boarding houses and what have you.
In fact,
sure.
I found a little article from a paper, and I included it of, I think it was in the Broadway Hotel, which is where the Beaver House is now.
Mm-hmm.
That a fellow kicked over the lamp in his room and it ignited, and but they got it out, you know. He was scared to death and he was crawled up in a corner, kind of. Lamps were a hazard also.
Sure, sure. Now, where when the lumberjacks would come in or the fishermen or whatever, where would they go to get an adult beverage?
Well, there were various places from time to time, and the Shoreview Hotel, which is the building now behind Joint's, that had a bar.
Did most of the hotels then have, you know, restaurants and bars, do you think?
I'm not sure about that, yeah, because there were other buildings where there were bars.
One of the interesting things that Buck and I were talking about earlier, too, is, and again, you've got that page, and I'm not going to take the time to leaf through it right now, but where you've got the population listed from Cook County. And Ann, trivia question for you.
Uh-huh.
How many people, and I'm assuming this had to be non-natives, in 1880, how many non-natives lived in Cook County?
1880?
Yeah.
127?
65. 65. And yet, the population of Grand Marais as a percentage and also total from 1960, even though it varied, it's about the same today as it was in 1960.
Yeah, the percentage is around 25 to 30%, around 30% pretty consistently of the county population.
And yet the county over from 60 has gone, so a lot more people living outside town now as opposed to what it used to be, I guess. How difficult was it as far as the copy goes? I mean, I know you mentioned that you interviewed and you talked to a lot of people. Did you make hand notes of that, or did you record it, or how did you do that? And then to work it into the text that's in the book.
Well, I took hand notes in talking to people, and I also I would photocopy, you know, a lot of information, you know, from newspapers, just photocopy the article, which makes research today a lot different than it used to be. So I did a lot of photocopying wherever I could find something like that. But when I talked to people and interviewed people, I would make notes and put it on my computer myself. And, and then, you know, you just start juggling. The thing kind of evolved. I didn't set out to write a book. It just that it kind of fell into place.
I was just going to ask you, at any point in time as you're doing this, did you think, what in the world was I thinking of here? Yeah. I found out what happened with the Blue Water. Why did I have to keep on going?
It was just curiosity, and I just got so far into it that I felt it was worth documenting this for the record. I'm interested in history, and it's even stuff like this. Photos get lost, and it's just I just felt it was worth doing.
Now, was there a reason that you confined the book and the research to Wisconsin and the harbor as opposed to moving up closer to the highway?
Yes, it you could go on forever. You know, it would just seem like
that's the next book.
For somebody else. Somebody can do Highway 61 and, you know.
I got a great title for it, When You Do It, Buck.
Oh, I'm I'm kind of curious, you know, a lot of buildings there that you're looking at and you're doing a lot of research, but a lot of it's about people, and you must have read about some real characters in those times.
Yes, there were characters, and I didn't get into this in terms of, you know, it's more of a documentary, and in contrast to a novel or, you know, the life of how people live, but some of that, yeah, and obviously people that came out into the, you know, wilderness 100 years ago, I mean, they were hardy people and creative people and you know, determined people.
Mm-hmm. We've been visiting with Gene Glatter. Annie, earlier? Okay. Gene Glatter about his hopefully new book. And the name of it is Downtown Grand Marais, A Brief History of the Early Hotels, the Harbor, and Wisconsin Street. Wonderful photographs and also some fun ads from papers and periodicals and so forth, as well as pictures of the people who were involved. And Gene, I hope that it does become a book, although even in just this format, it's pretty darn cool. And I appreciate you doing it.
Well, thank you. One of the interesting things I thought I might mention is, as I did research the harbor pretty well, and the role of Charlie Johnson in the early history of this county and the early history of this town is very impressive.
Hmm.
And you know, at one time, he or the companies he was affiliated with owned virtually the whole harbor.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and I have been able to document that pretty thoroughly and accurately.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, the other thing, that's what I was thinking about earlier, the picture that you have of the Standard Station down there. Well, first of all, with these great big tanks.
Right.
Today, I don't think that would fly. But then they had an outdoor hoist. That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's a picture of 3 feet of snow on the ground, and they got an outdoor hoist.
Right.
Amazing.
Well, and you know, one of the fortunate things about the history of Grand Marais is there were efforts, you know, more than one effort to bring a railroad into town or connect Grand Marais to the railroads that were back in the woods, and it never happened. I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of money was spent trying to do that. But the fact that it didn't happen preserved the harbor as a, you know, beautiful tourist town that it is today.
Yeah, yeah.
It could have looked like two harbors, you know, the railroad piers and two harbors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gene, thank you so much for taking time on January 1st to visit with us, and we look forward to hopefully the successful production of the book.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.